Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there, you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also, be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
Choose Seacoast Commerce Bank as your property management bank of choice. Seacoast Commerce Bank specializes in trust accounts and business banking for property managers. One of their best features is a cash analysis program where they can assist in paying your property management related invoices. Contact Allison at 619-988-6708 to learn more. And be sure to listen to the Property Management Mastermind Podcast, episode number 26, about Seacoast Commerce Bank.
In today's episode, I have Mr. Matt Hoffman on, and he's a RealPage member representing Kigo Marketplace. So check them out at Kigo.net. Now, this is a super fascinating episode because what we learned is how the short-term rental market works, how the management side works, how everything goes along inside of that. So it's very neat, very good, informative listen. And I was kind of fascinated and floored the whole time. So really got to pay attention. So let's listen up. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson. And in today's guest, I have Mr. Matt Hoffman. And he is working with RealPage and working with Kigo.net, K-I-G-O.net. And they are a short-term rental software. And so I thought it was very interesting to bring him onto the episode, talk about short-term rentals. We've looked all at it, and we kind of think it's a very interesting business model, but something he's going to be able to talk at length about. So Matt, how are you today?
Doing fantastic. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're a busy guy. So you're with RealPage, and RealPage is the parent company of PropertyWare.
Correct.
So in that regard, you guys are very familiar with the single family home space and creating a platform now to manage the short-term rental. Is actually quite interesting because you're taking that experience from PropertyWare and directly applying that into the Kigo platform. And the short-term rentals, as some have talked, a lot of folks have ventured down into that. You're talking Airbnb, you're talking VRBO, and you may have five other advertising sources I can't even think of. So prior to get going into this, kind of give us a description of who you are, what you do, and who you represent. Give us some background on you.
Absolutely. Well, my name is again Matt Hoffman. I'm the head of short-term rentals for Kigo, which is the short-term rental group for RealPage. The background over the last 5 years is that this has been an industry that is up and coming across RealPage with multifamily and single family. You know, they are the industry leader in real estate solutions and the largest and all the subject matter experts and diving really deep into the details of property management. You know, this is really the place to be. And what is so interesting about Kigo is that, you know, we can leverage and benefit from all of that knowledge, right, and expertise on the long-term rental side as we're moving to build technology to advance the short-term rental side. You know, this is an evolving industry. There are a lot of very hardworking professionals, and there's still some lack of standardization and processes that have largely been established in single family and in multifamily that, you know, we're seeing evolve and are happy to be a part of that transition as we advance things forward.
Yeah, the short-term rental market is sort of in direct conflict with the long-term rental market. I mean, a lot of people listening are into the single-family home property management space, and they're looking at the long-term rentals as their bread and butter. And so they can kind of see the short-term rental market as being a threat to a certain extent, because when you're talking to owners, they could be on the fence of making it a short-term rental, furnishing it, get everything going, hiring a management company, or doing it themselves, versus just say heck with it and turn it over to a single family home property management company, and then they do everything for them from start to finish. So It's sort of our competition. It really depends on the market that you're in. So, I mean, clearly you could probably comment on this a little bit better. Some markets just simply don't support short-term rentals. Some are built for it. So what do you think on that?
Yeah, two-part answer to that. So for one, I think that there's a very real difference between what I would say is a short-term rental and a long-term rental on the single-family side. We define a short-term rental as a unit that's being rented for one night. Now, there are different degrees of minimum stay rules by company, depending on how you want to service this business model. But a one-night stay is how we define a short-term rental. It transitions out of this world into long-term rentals when we start talking about 30 days or beyond. Now, I know that's not what is considered in the single-family or multifamily space, but in the travel space, that's very much so how we look at it. The average length of stay for a short-term rental in a vacation market is typically about 6 nights per guest. And the average length of stay for a urban market, city center, is typically around 3 nights per stay. So you're looking at servicing an entire different clientele, as well as an entire different level of expectations. Google groups travelers into three categories: those who are curious, those who are impatient, or those who are demanding. And I think as travelers ourselves, we've all been impatient or demanding at some point in time. But that can give you a level of 2/3 of travelers are impatient or demanding, the level of expectations that you're going to have with servicing this model. And that is a lot of the risk in coming from property management and getting into hospitality management. It is a very different world and a big shift. There's a lot of economics on this side that gives a lot of upside, but I don't really view them as competing. I view them as sort of augmenting each other and diversifying maybe an offering as you're looking at this from the lens of a manager or a property owner.
That dives in straight to my next question is, who typically owns a short-term rental? And to back up on you a little bit, most municipalities are going to define a short-term rental as less than 30 days. So you're right on the spot where I was thinking, you have to define an STR, because what is a short-term rental? And so the 30-day mark, give or take, I mean, one day, I mean, you're slicing a, but that's kind of where we are. Who typically owns a short-term rental and why?
It's a great question. Short-term rentals typically someone who vacations to a vacation destination, if you will, year over year, and has chosen to invest in a second or third home. And while they are not there or present all of the time in that residence, it's not a primary residence for them, they will typically then look for a management company to take over and manage that property for them in that market. There is a tremendous amount of TAM, if you will, of secondary homes that are currently not in management or not under short-term rental fee asset or strategy, if you will. But that is the single family type of supply you really see available in the short-term rental space. You also have those who are traveling in different destinations year-round that don't necessarily think of a business traveler, for example, who may also invest in real estate and then look at the economics provided by a short-term rental in comparison to a long-term, which gives you more stability in terms of net rents coming in month over month. But you're also only having one lease a year on the long-term side, or typically in the short-term rental side, using that same vernacular, you're seeing around average of 17 leases a year. Also 17 turns a year, which is very different too. But that's what we really kind of see is the total addressable market for short-term rentals is a mix of both single and multifamily units.
Who is your software geared towards? More of the do-it-yourself type owner, landlord, or the management company, or both?
We get a mixture of both. I will tell you, Kigo Marketplace is an enterprise level solution that's designed to tech enable all the different elements of the value chain in servicing a short-term rental business, everything from guest expectations to operations. What you see is that with the hobbyists or hosts, if you will, is a real desire to service a short-term rental unit in a professional way. But there's a very clear difference in that service level versus a professional who really is there to provide that 24/7 on-demand instant gratification support to all the things that could happen while they're staying in the unit. So Marketplace is an enterprise level solution designed to give efficiency and throughput through technology automation, and also ensure that that engagement with a guest or a resident that has a higher degree of expectations can be served so with a lot less operational staff to service this type of a model.
So there's an opportunity here for folks that manage single family homes to potentially take on some of these short-term rentals. What are some of the nuances that you would tell a single family home property management company owner, or even a single family home property management operator, that would give them some motivation to go down this road? Because the first thing you think of is, you just said 17 turns a year on average, and we're thinking, oh my God, that's a lot of work. And then you got to be Johnny on the spot with maintenance. You got to have all these things go in line. However, there can be some pretty good markup on this. So I want you to kind of talk through us. Like, do you think it's a viable business model that folks should look into? Of course, market specific. I mean, obviously Lake Tahoe is going to be a great market for something like that versus, you know, someplace in that's not a destination. So kind of talk us through a little bit about that if you can.
Absolutely. So the first thing I would look at is the market, right? I like to sort of define this by vacation destinations or urban destinations. And I do so because of seasonality, right? This is when you can expect sort of peak demand for rental income to occur. In Tahoe, for example, ski season versus an urban market where you're getting demand year round and you don't see some of the, you know, seasonal curves and dips in booking and demand coming in. If I'm looking at this from a single family operator standpoint, the first thing to think about is, you know, what are you getting for monthly rent? You know, the average daily rate for a short-term rental in a vacation or urban market, if I blend them together, let's just say it's $160 to $180 a night. Well, if the average booking in a vacation market is six nights and the average booking in an urban market is three, you can then do the math and see how many bookings do I need to achieve to supersede what the monthly rental income is going to be? And is that enough to justify the operating expense and logistics to be able to serve the model? Depending on the market, the answer usually is yes. And that is something that's been very exciting and why we've seen the short-term rentals burgeoning year over year. This is the growth and CAGR over this over the next 2 years. You know, going from a global industry TAM from, let's say, $120 billion to $190 billion by the end of 2020. I mean, that's significant growth as we start to see short-term rental supply really converge with hotel supply and start to sit right alongside right accommodations for what guests are looking for with all the amenities of home. So if there was ever a time to consider looking in your market, looking at what the average daily rates are, and you could go on HomeAway or Airbnb, you can start to see some comp sets of nightly rates in market and very quickly do the math and say, if I've got any vacancy, you know, units that I have not yet been able to rent or lease up challenge, whatever that may be, you know, perhaps start with a one and just see what you can do on that front and go from there. But that is typically the kind of, you know, that first hit that really kind of gets businesses then going in that right direction. On the single family front, a lot of the customers that we speak to at Real World that are using PropertyWare, they have short-term rental doors in their portfolio and are really looking for, you know, it's sort of been an afterthought. And, you know, what can we do with this now and how do we move that forward?
So fun math, $150 a night, just rounded in that middle range, even lower, times 10 nights a month, that's $1,500 a month. Times 20 nights is $3,000 a month. So then you have to look at the management costs, the turns, the expenses, et cetera. And is that rental property going to garnish in more than $2,000 or $2,500 per month to really make it worthwhile in comparison to maybe getting $3,000 a month? So interesting stuff, very interesting, because you know, you talked about several platforms there. And so the management side, this is what I've seen, and maybe you guys can elaborate because you're really not, you know, sharing any secret sauce necessarily. So what I've seen in doing my own research is you're looking at anywhere from short-term rental management expense to be in from 20% to, I've seen even 35 or 40%. That's what they're charging on top of that. Let's say you get $3,000 a month in that revenue that I just talked about, $150 per night times 20 nights of that month. That's $3,000. And you're taking, for fun, you want to take 25% of that. So that's $750 you top my head. That's a pretty good monthly income for that particular management that you're running. However, you are running like crazy. And that kind of brought me back to one point I need to discuss with you on this, is when we looked at this model a year ago, it really has to be the operator that pays close attention. The business owner, like us, who we run the business, we hire people, they do everything, and then we kind of oversee the business as an umbrella. It's a little bit more difficult, but let's say I wanted to assign a portfolio manager that works for me to run the short-term rental department. Does that work? I mean, does that physically work, or does it have to be kind of like, because you can't run a brand, can you? I mean, I'm showing you my RentWorks koozie here. I don't know if you can run a short-term rental under a brand, can you? Does it have to be a person?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yes, you can run short-term rentals under a brand. The sweet spot I really look at is, can you get to 12 book nights per unit per month? The ADR, average daily rate in vacation destinations with the shortened season, is actually significantly higher than the 150 we're talking about. But to your point, right, you know, what is that sweet spot? And does this help drive additional, you know, NOI back to the business by offering this model? There is a lot of margin to be made as a manager for a short-term rental company. And the fees you're talking about with 20% to 35%, you know, that definitely ranges as well, but 20% is typically the average.
Okay, that's good. Because, you know, I was doing all kinds of stuff. I was looking at San Francisco and like Tahoe and other places as kind of what those management companies that were online that you can find and see the ones that actually published their rates. So that 20, 30, 35% was what the highest I actually found. That's on top of whatever they're charging potential incoming tenants, you know, so or residences or whatever you call them for short-term rentals. The 12 book nights is the sweet spot. That's interesting. Okay, so that's your kind of healthy medium for every type of a unit that you're seeing. That's the average of what they can actually fill it up with. Is that correct?
That's right. If you can get to that that number in terms of demand every single month coming in, then, you know, what you really have is from that point on, it's all the icing on the cake, right? You've typically crossed the chasm through, you know, it being more profitable in comparison to your long-term rent for that side of the house. And the gross up profit for a management company, aside from their 20 management fee, you know, there's margin that can be made on cleans. There's margin to be made on services. You know, the most successful vacation rental companies in the space, you know, you see gross profit of, you know, close to 50%. Now, if you then break everything down, right, and sort of the net income and loss before, you know, tax, EBITDA, right, then you're really seeing about a 18 to 22% margin, you know, EBITDA, which is significant. So, you know, if you can get to that number, you know, these demand partners that you're talking about, Airbnb, Booking.com, HomeAway, you know, these are the quality demand channels out there. It is a quality over quantity approach, but that game is largely won. So you can, if you can get your inventory out there and market it successfully, even though there is some margin compression along the value chain, depending on where you're generating your reservations from for guests, you know, Booking.com, corporate travelers, Airbnb, millennial travelers, right? Depending on where that's coming from, it will definitely impact your customer acquisition cost. But at the end of the day, if you can get to that 12 book nights per unit per month, then you can figure out all the creative ways with which you can drive that up from there.
Now, is it better to be a super host on some of these? And I don't believe that you can do that as a like a brand. It can't be like, you know, Keller Williams Management or something like that. It has to be Matt Hoffman super host. Is that correct with some of these?
Well, so back to your point, can you be a brand and can you then you know, delegate, you know, a short-term rental business or model to extensions of that brand? And do you need someone to be able to run that? From a service standpoint, a hospitality standpoint, you absolutely do, because instant gratification and that human touch is a very real part of this industry. But as long as you can maintain a service level standard on the hospitality front, you know, you can roll this model out, you know, as a independent, you know, extension of your business, an affiliate version of your business, fee management, or directly with the actual brand itself. But that brand is very important, you know, from that guest expectation standpoint, because of reviews, as you know, also being a very real driver here. So super hosts are a definition, you know, coined by Airbnb for those on their platform who are the most responsive, who solve, you know, guest issues in a timely manner, that have great properties or units that are, you know, verbose in their description, are very accurate, are competitive with pricing, and have a lot of great reviews. So this kind of constant good performance in marketplace allows you to elevate your status and reward for the good actors in that marketplace as it should be. So, does that mean they're a professional? Well, it means they're demonstrating a lot of the different attributes that would make a professional, but that's for one unit, right? As you start to the economies of scale, you can see performance degradation across this. And in the world of hospitality, it is about not so much that you're perfect, but that you are timely and engaging back in working to resolve issues with potential guests. And as long as you can do that, you can feel confident in maintaining a 4 out of 5 review rating or higher.
Because the reviews are king. And so I wanted to, you know, maybe address that a little bit later. I want to go down this list a little bit more. So the software nuances, I mean, everyone's kind of wondering now, okay, I'm intrigued. Sounds like there's some pretty decent margins, which could lead into different things. You know, you got sales on both sides of that. You got conversion into single family home, long-term rentals. You have all kinds of ancillary businesses that you could start up around the short-term rental side. Where I'm going with this is, what are some of the nuances in the platform of the software of Kigo.net that really helps a manager to run it? I mean, is it totally different than what we were used to seeing? Because a lot of folks out there understand Propertyware, AppFolio, Buildium, Rent Manager, you name it. They kind of understand that platform. How does it differ and how does it help you?
It's a great question. So speaking back to my previous statement about standardization, I don't want to say that the U.S. you know, vacation short-term rental market is the Wild West, because it's come a long way in the last 5 years and is evolving quickly every single day. But there is definitely a very real difference in the expectations single and multifamily PMCs have around how we KYC or screen guests that are coming through, for example, right? What is required when signing a lease agreement? Do the online terms through Airbnb, do those govern, you know, the lease agreement that I want to have someone sign before they enter into my single family dwelling, for example? You know, how do I want to enforce to ensure that I am protected, you know, independent of where the demand comes from into my unit? So what we're seeing with Kigo Marketplace and what we've built into this that is truly unique really starts with our Kigo Pay technology. In the world of online travel, online payments is a very high risk to charge back and fraud. And when you've never stayed in a vacation or short-term rental before, you might be having customers with unaligned expectations on the service level that could potentially charge you back. So the very real first step is, you know, how we simplify the world of online payments with Marketplace, as the bank is the nucleus of the business. That then goes to our, you know, guest experience and KYC technology, where we're saying, hey, regardless of where the guest is coming from, booking.com, direct to your website, a friend of a friend, you know, they're going to go through a quick screen to make sure that they've provided more than just their name, email address, and a credit card to stay in your unit. And we have the electronic signature and you know, verification of an ID or passport to make sure that you know who is in fact coming in to stay with you. And then that really is protecting the overall potential to charge back and risk as you service that guest, you know, through their short-term rental experience. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit about the term, 17 a year. That's, you know, it seems like that could be a nightmare to service unless you've set up a network of cleaners, for example, and then you've got the technology that just completely automates, you know, this need to then go in and having a 3-hour window, for example, in peak season where a guest is checking out Sunday at 11 and you got another guest coming in that same Sunday at 3 o'clock. And you know that unit's been turned clean to the level of expectation that you want to represent your brand and inspected before that next guest arrives. So these are all the different elements of Marketplace that we have put in to allow the lowest common denominator, if you will, of short-term rental savviness. If you've never been in that world before, you know, this all boats sort of rise with the tide. And Marketplace is designed to ensure that automation and technology platform can help someone who's new to the game, right, deliver a 4-star level experience to their guests.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about the upcoming conference in Atlanta, Georgia, called Pulling Back the Curtain, happening this January 2019. This is a 2-day event, with day one being presentation style of an exclusive group of property management entrepreneurs, followed by day two as small group sessions. Speakers include Dave Borden, Deb Newell, Mark Cunningham. My presentation at this event will be on closing business, discussing sales tactics that have helped us grow by adding more than one door per day for the last 2 years. Visit the propertymanagementmastermind.com site to learn more.
Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. Filter Easy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
Let's touch on the burning question that we're all going to have a hard time dealing with. Anybody who's interested in dabbling into the space at a professional level, what do you do when they vacate the property and they cause a bunch of damage? I mean, that's always going to be the big concern of property managers because, you know, we're used to tenants potentially not being the most loving to their homes. And so I will preface this before you answer is that, and from what I'm seeing and what, you know, I've experienced and what we've done, anytime we rent a short-term rental, we actually leave it in really, really good shape. I mean, just like a hotel room, you kind of walk around 3-4 times, make sure that you follow the exact checklist. Because if nothing else, you feel like you feel like you were a guest. And so I think that's part of the perception with some folks that do the short-term rentals on a regular basis is, hey, I'm just a guest in this home. I'm staying here for 3-4 nights, and I'm taking care of the home. So answer the question on that side and then go into what if they do damage.
So there's a lot there, and you're absolutely correct. What happens, right, if they go in there and they do a lot of damage and that completely destroys your margin for the year when you're having to go and replace, you know, and fill that in for your potential homeowner. The first thing to understand is that a lot of the online demand channels are offering insurance policies, right, directly right off the bat for those who are listing with them that, you know, is something that really starts to safeguard the journey for those who represent the asset from the very beginning. What needs to happen is there is a damage deposit, you know, waiver, if you will, that is a non-refundable fee that's built into bookings that covers the unit up to a certain amount of damage with every single booking that comes through. So, you know, right off the bat, this is a fee that's paid by the guest, but it gives that insurance for damage in unit while that guest is staying there. Beyond that, there's still the need to go in, you know, prove the damage was done, submit that, but you know, our industry is really shifting away from, in my opinion, taking a $1,000 or $500 upfront fee that more often than not, if there is damage, won't cover all of it. And you don't want to be in a position to have to go back to the guest and get it from after the fact. Good luck. So this policy and making it a standardized practice really safeguards. Another thing to do is simply minimum night stays. You know, if you're in a urban market like Austin and you've got a party of 10 coming in for a one night stay, well, I'm not saying that that party of 10 is going to do something wrong, but the high likelihood of a lot of damage or bachelor parties, some of these things that tend to creep up in the news that are really few and far between, you know, you can extend those out with minimum stays to help avoid that. But, you know, really what we're looking at is policies and procedures are created to solve for the bad actors, the 1%. 99% of guests that you're going to get are just like you, are going to treat the unit with respect. And like it is their own home, but it is important to ensure that they sign a rental agreement coming through, that you know how the identification of at least the representative person who is actually renting the unit for that period of time, and that you have a insurance policy in place to safeguard from the damage that's done there, to both protect your margin and also the asset of the home you're representing.
Yeah, so one of the things on the end of that is feedback is king, and that's one of the things I've sent you in our list of stuff to talk about. From what I understand in the STR space, you kind of have to kiss the tenant's butt. I mean, the resident's butt a little bit, because at the end of the stay, you want them to leave you a really good review. And so, I mean, I'm talking over the top service, right? I mean, they're very aware of these super hosts, these people that do this stuff. They understand if they get a 2 or 3 star review, it kills their average. It drops them in the algorithm of where they show up on the search results. So instead of being at the top with a 4.5, 5 star review of 60 reviews, they're stuck in the middle in no man's land. And the only way to overcome that is price. And so you really, these super hosts, from what I gather, is they go out of their way to provide really good service, which is kind of cool, but you just got to be prepared to do that. And that's a mindset shift from single family home to where we put them in a unit and then don't bug us. I mean, I get it. We'll do your maintenance. Okay. But don't call me if your dog is barking next door or you can't find your keys, or you don't know how to run your air conditioning unit. Don't call us for that. Grow up. Versus in the short-term rental space, they call you up and say, hey, I don't know how to work the air conditioning. I'm so sorry about that, Mr. Resident. We're going to send somebody over there right now. I'll parachute somebody in this very second, and they'll be in there with minutes. They'll be there. And so you have to take that mindset and shift. And so it's very, I don't know, it's a tough mind shift. I want you to comment on that because I mentioned a lot, but what are you seeing in that realm?
Well, price is only a problem in the absence of value, right? So working towards getting that 5-star review, it is a challenge in travel because for the most part, and anyone who's listening today, you think about when's the last time you left a great review just for having a good stay? It tends not to happen sometimes, right? We get busy, we come back from a vacation or from our stay, and we just move on. But when we have that bad experience, you rest assured, right? Those are the ones that you see coming through because they have that sort of evokes that emotional response of wanting to let someone know so they don't fall victim to perhaps that again in the future. So independent of price, this level of service, hospitality, right? And instant gratification, that's really where, kind of our guest, experience technology for Marketplace comes in handy because it's just about saying, what is the Wi-Fi code or there's something in unit that they can just go on and ask a quick question. You can respond back. Most of the time, it will not require you to actually dispatch someone out to the unit, but it's simply just being there to answer a question. And more often than not, everything that you're going to see from an engagement standpoint with the guests is really going to happen on the front side up until that first day they've come through what we call the check-in door. Inside of that first day after that, you really see the interaction or potential engagement from a guest, unless there is an issue that comes up, really trail off after that. But it's about being there and listening and addressing things quickly because you can't be perfect. But it's the non-response, right, or the inaction that really then can spur that poor review. So getting into the world of short-term rentals and offering this, one poor review is not going to do you in. But what's important is that if you do end up skinning your knees as you're learning this new model and you end up getting that one bad review, it's important that you go on and you respond very quickly to that review online and you articulate in that response, the empathy back to the guest that you had, but then also what you did to help solve that problem for them while they're there. At the end of the day, as long as you have that response out there and you show future guests, this is how we responded and this is what we did about that, court of public opinion will determine if it's reasonable or not, but that's the most important thing to solve that.
So one thing that I want to bring up is single family home managers will love this fact is reviews work both ways. They work both ways. So you have the opportunity to absolutely rip that particular resident or short-term person because they came in and trashed your unit or they didn't do something and they did something wrong. And you can rip on them too because we end up being just like the one-way target. But in this realm, tracer rounds work both ways because if they start firing at us, we can start firing back. And so it's kind of a neat, healthy check and balance. However, I totally agree with you on that one. You just got to provide it. So I got a little vignette, a little story on this one. We rented a VRBO in Ruidoso, New Mexico. This was 3-4 years ago. Drove over there from Texas, went skiing, rented a VRBO, pull up to the management company's office, get our keys, which is another side story I'm going to touch on here, go to the unit and get in. Everything was fine. It was a great unit, great place, great home. And the owner of the business called me like within, an hour and said, hey, just wanted to check on you and make sure everything's going okay, et cetera. It went to voicemail, but I thought that was really, really powerful. And since then, it's kind of cemented that into my head that you just got to call. Text messages are okay. Emails are the worst. Don't do it. But a phone call, even if you leave a voicemail, is super hugely powerful. Okay. So that's a good lesson learned on that one. The other part I wanted to touch on, and this is something you may know or may not know, but things that happen in the short-term rental space are bleeding now into the single family home realm. For example, the locks. The locks are becoming more and more prevalent to be that lock that they can get into either with an access through an iPad or an iPhone. They can do it with a keypad. It rotates the lock numbers. Essentially what they're not doing is short-term rentals. And now some of the single family home residences are getting to the point where they can send folks directly to the unit and there's either a lockbox or a key or something that they can get directly into the unit. So dragging them to an office is starting to go by the wayside, especially in our realm SFH. In the short-term rentals, that's an everyday occurrence, right?
Yes, the entry into the unit needs to be streamlined. Having to go and check into an office or to go to some other point or destination prior to getting in the unit is problematic. So we're seeing a very real shift in adoption of smart home automation and technology to allow the automatic release of door codes within a certain period of time, right? So if it's we have that with the marketplace to understand what's my code. It's uniquely generated per guest, and it doesn't release the code to them until a certain number of hours, depending on your business and what you set, before their arrival date. And then upon their checkout, those codes change again, so they can't get back into the unit. If it's a multifamily dwelling, signage of where to go, so they're not spinning their wheels. If you're in a destination where cell service can be a real challenge, right? And mapping the unit, this is why that engagement on the front side, and to your point, you said even making a call, I definitely myself personally would love a call and not mind it, but we are really seeing holistically across the industry and travel that everything is really driving away from, that call, and simply a yes or no text reply or that check-in is starting to really kind of meet that at least one check-in point. So, I would say that I've had my nightmare stories in short-term rentals as well, but over the last 2 years specifically, we are starting to see from a professional standpoint, this is what professionals can provide that you sometimes don't get with the hosts, are these little attention to details, nuances with the operation of saying, you don't have to come to my office, you're getting here after hours, and everything you need to get in the unit and have a great stay without seeing a single person from my company, that entire stay can be done.
Yeah, they're going to mirror each other. I can tell you that. You're going to get the hillbilly short-term rental owners who don't even know how to operate a smartphone. They're going to have their 10-year-old granddaughter throw their stuff up online. And then, then when you rent from them, that's miserable. Versus if you go to an absolute pro and everything is checklisted and done and perfect, and it makes that stay so much better, that's where they get the max revenue and give the max value to the owners of that property. So let me switch gears into this. So we've talked about HomeAway, Airbnb, VRBO, Booking.com. Do you and your software, does it integrate into all of those? Or how does that work with the integration side into those advertising sources?
It does. So we have a channel management technology, we call it in our side. You're managing online travel agencies, OTAs, think single family, multifamily, call them ILSs, for example. And each one of them operates a little bit differently in the connection in terms of, communication prior to a booking, or online booking capability, which is really what everyone needs to be able to support today. But what Kigo Marketplace allows professional managers to do is to understand that, each of these demand channels carry a different cost. Some charge a percentage of the booking, to the PMC and a percentage to the guest. Some charge the entire percentage, sometimes upwards of 15-18% to the PMC. So what our technology allows you to understand right off the bat, because it's the very first thing we address, if you're getting into this model, the first thing you can do to ensure that company sustains is put money on the table. And the best way to do that is connect their inventory to quality demand partners as soon as possible. And then what we allow them to do is then configure based on audience. So, if I have, it's sometimes not about what I am doing. It's what I'm not going to do. If I'm luxury inventory, if there's a certain demographic I don't want to market to, perhaps I'm not going to connect to that particular channel because I know the type of guest that I'm going to be getting from that just doesn't fit with my business model. But Kigo Marketplace and our channel manager allows you to actually control, the cost of what your units are on different channels based off of their customer acquisition cost that you have to pay as a PMC, and also can protect some of your fee markups with cleans, for example, or protecting taxes, to ensure that, this margin compression across these different fees, don't impact your business bottom line. So that is the very first thing. If someone's getting into the world of short-term rentals, if you come to Kigo Marketplace, we're going to work with these partners to ensure that you can update your inventory one time. And from there, all these different partners out there will reflect the update that you've made so you can work on serving your guests and less on the operational side of the business.
So I'm gonna throw you a tough one here. You may not be able to answer this because this is kind of some inner workings of stuff. Before I talk about legislation, I want to talk about insurance. So insurance, is it going to be any different for the owner of the property for a short-term rental versus a single-family home? Does their insurance change when they decide to designate this particular unit as a short-term rental and it's also fully furnished? So are you available or do you know how to talk about some of that stuff?
So the answer is yes. The way that you represent the unit or the property and the insurance policy that you have on that will absolutely shift. And you want to make sure that you have the proper coverage in place. You know, if you are going to be having 17 potential guests coming through on that unit on a yearly basis, but it's also from a risk standpoint as well, understanding that, what is the liability of, not just maybe a bedroom damage, but what happens if, someone gets hurt in the home, right? Or the asset gets burnt to the ground, for example, or if it's in a multifamily building, you've got, the unit that actually ends up, burning down other units as well. So there's insurance that you have with the guest to cover their stay. And think of it kind of like you're bookending the check-in to the check-out and all the things that would be the damage that could potentially arise from that. Then there's also the overall GL insurance, right? That is going to cover, everything to do with, representing that asset, as a short-term rental. And it can vary by state. From a regulatory standpoint, this is a very complex world because it's constantly shifting and changing as policymakers and regulators are starting to try and figure out the world of short-term rentals and tax allocation and what's happening there. It's still very, very difficult. And every day we're seeing things changing. But yes, the answer is you need to understand what that is and then have the right policy in place.
Okay, so some red meat, maybe you can answer this. Do you have a particular vendor that you like that you would send people to for a short-term rental insurance policy? Or is this provided for them through some of the HomeAway and Airbnb and VRBO and Booking? Or is it provided through them?
Two parts, yes. So yes, depending on the channel the guest books through, if they don't book directly to the PMC website. HomeAway, for example, offers a fantastic policy to insure both their hosts or homeowners, right, PMCs and their guests. We utilize a integrated partner, Rental Guardian, which is they've been fantastic over the years. And they allow for, again, that protection of potential damages with the guests while they're in stay. A very quick turnaround for claims made when damage occurs. And they also allow for the PMC to determine, a cost markup in some instances, or how they want to be able to have some additional margin they can make on offering that, as a fee that's paid by the guest. So they've been a great partner. It's integrated and we allow, photos and claims to be done directly through our platform. So the proof is right there and it can be done, facilitated and expedited to get that paid back, very quickly.
So let's talk about legislation and how Kegel Marketplace can tie right into it. When I talk legislation, I'm talking about now they're starting to crack down on the short-term rentals. And crackdown is not a right word, but they're putting like city codes and ordinances in place to regulate short-term rentals, very much similar to hotel rooms. So they're being required to post a bunch of stuff inside the unit. They're being required to have a certain level of insurance to show proof of insurance. They're being required to obviously pay taxes on it, more taxes. And they're required to get some sort of like certificate that shows that it's an approved unit, which of course there's a cost to with the state and they might have inspections. And it's not statewide. It's usually, like the city of San Antonio passed this just recently. And so they're starting to really hammer on that legislation. And so I think it's just kind of like the state city plan or the city planners, they're trying to show off a little bit to their constituents, but whatever, that's political. But point is now that the owners and or management companies have to deal with that, is all that being taken into account inside of Kegel Marketplace to offer checklists and ways to manage those types of requirements?
So first and foremost, understand is that in my humble opinion, demand always wins. And I like to use sort of anecdotal use case around Napster when that first came out and disrupted the music industry. I remember waiting on a song to download and how great it was to have one song when I came back home from school at the end of the day to be ready to go and listen to. And what ended up happening, right? They didn't know how to sort of music industry, what they lobbied and they shut that down. But demand ultimately wins out. And You have Spotify's and SoundCloud's today that show that that's going to happen. You will absolutely see the same evolution occurring in this space as policymakers, regulators figure out ways with which to tax, this model and this asset existing amongst hotels. Because to your point, yes, is there a certain lodging tax in that market? Do they have to have a certain licensing? Is there a restriction or a cap on the number of short-term rental licenses given, right, to homeowners or PMCs in that particular market? What is the fee or penalty for operating without one? We see lots of markets where that penalty is a slap on the wrist compared to the economics. And we see people, PMCs, that are simply just willing to pay that fee because it's, doesn't supersede, right, or deter them from operating in that market based off of the economics that they're seeing. So what I recommend, yes, we have the structure for our settings and business rules that allow you to configure and ensure a protection of taxes and understanding what, those nuanced details in market are, but we do not provide the information to PMCs other than simply what we know to be available publicly. But there is a great service through a company called Avalara that we work with that will do all of the tax filing, licensing, registration, tax remittance for PMCs, and will monitor these trends in market and will act as the tax merchant with the PMC to facilitate that. So as these shifting tides and are constantly evolving, right, PMC is constantly in the know and can operate this model and work with a partner who can handle that side of the business. So that is what I recommend for any PMC and single family, multifamily getting into the short-term rental space. Absolutely work with a third-party company like them to understand the regulatory climate and market and what the potential risks are versus rewards. And that will then help kind of light a path for success, knowing that you've followed all the proper steps in market with sales tax, lodging tax, et cetera.
Well, I'm impressed. I mean, I'm hearing a lot about Kegel Marketplace I didn't know about before we got on this call. So it's been a learning experience for me. My head's starting to spin to think, well, maybe I can bring on one more portfolio manager, make that person straight commission and tie into this system somehow. Maybe go get a few short-term rentals. There's lots of good ideas floating around. I mean, we're not in the greatest market here for that, but I know some folks that are, and they can do pretty well. And you'd be surprised at what some markets are doing. I know a buddy of mine, Tracy Strike, up in Tulsa, and they run short-term rentals. I think they have 10 or 15 of them. A couple of them are his, but he runs 12 or 15 on the management side on a professional level. And they do really well as far as the revenue versus the alternative. For fun, just for math, they might bring in $3,000, but the regular single family home rental profit or a regular price for that might be $1,500 a month. So would you take $3,000 or $1,500 a month and then pay a little bit of expenses on $3,000? It's two, six, one half dozen the other. Then you have tax implications in there that you may have to consider. But man, what a learning experience talking with you. I'm really excited. So keep going.
Yeah. If there was one takeaway for the listeners, who are considering the world of short-term rentals, just know this, that when I say homes and hotels are converging, I will use Europe as the use case. So, booking.com, who everyone has probably heard of, started in Europe in Amsterdam in 2005, really servicing the boutique hotel accommodations throughout Europe. And in Europe, what you saw is an evolution of the traveler. And it stopped being looking for an accommodation that was specific to maybe a hotel brand per se. And it was simply just finding a accommodation for the right price and the right location. And what you're going to see is the U.S. traveler, there's also a shift occurring in this market where it's no longer really about maybe the type of accommodation as much as it is the right accommodation and the right location for the right price, whether it be a hotel or a multifamily unit or a single family unit. That is what is going to be happening. And so this shift over the next 3 to 5 years, the opportunity is still wide open for anyone who gets into this market and is considering taking it very seriously as a professional, from a professional standpoint, knowing that that is what the U.S. traveler is still wanting, right? You're still wanting to, when you get into a Hyatt or a Marriott, right? You don't know what's maybe in the room, but you know what level of expectation to have, right? With that in-stay experience. If you can deliver something similar on the short-term rental side, then your accommodations will compete right next to hotels and then benefit from the economics of that. And you're seeing that in markets across the country. And Texas is a really great state that favors, from a policy standpoint, short-term rentals.
So last question, what market out there really wows you? I mean, to the margins, to the pace of that rents, I mean, just what short-term rental market? And it could be, you know, someplace in a 3-month time frame, like Tahoe, for example. Is there any market out there that just like, you look at it, you're like, wow, I can't believe what you're getting in per night in that season?
So yes, there are. If I were to start my own property management company in short-term rentals today, where would I start it? I would look at Nashville, Denver, Dallas, Clearwater Beach, Florida area. Those are some markets that from an ROI standpoint and a short-term rental performance standpoint are doing very, very well and will continue to do well for one specific reason. Demand has outpaced available supply in those markets. And so you've got a supply shortage challenge where you are looking at PMCs in those markets, demand channels like Airbnb, HomeAway, they're looking for ways to get additional supply in these short-term rental markets because they've got an overflow of demand. And so if I were to start it today, I would look at an urban market with regulatory safe, you know, in terms of, you know, legislation, taxes, all those things. And I would start there. And you were seeing high ADRs in those markets. And there's also opportunities in what we could say maybe is the unsexy markets, right? So getting it outside the metropolis and into some of the more suburban areas, you know, such as Frisco and North Dallas, for example, or really getting outside of the greater Chicago area, where there are also a very real demand for, you know, corporate travelers who don't want to stay at those extended stays anymore and would love to have all the amenities of a home while they're there for a couple of weeks, right? So those are the top five markets, though. Denver, Dallas, Nashville, Clearwater Beach, Florida. That's absolutely where I would start one if I was beginning today.
Fascinating. That was a really cool answer. Loved it. Matt, this has been tremendous. So people need to check out the Kigo platform. Give us a pitch on how we can find you.
So go to Kigo.net. Kigo.net will take you right to the overall offering for Kigo Marketplace. And again, if you are a professional and you are looking to get in the world of short-term rentals and you want to work with a technology company that is not just versed in technology, but the logistics, the operations, and the business intelligence to help you make financially informed decisions to help achieve some of the economics we talked about today, then Kigo is the right company for you.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Thank you very much.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you're in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.